This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. It's great to be here with you on a Wednesday morning. Would like to welcome back to the studio the great Paul Reindel. Welcome back from Las Vegas, my friend.
Good morning.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Get into your trip here in a moment. I'm Woodsy, and I am prioritizing my sanity and my physical health and my mental health. This stupid team, they're going to make me insane. Insane! Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. How are you, Benjamin?
I'm good, because this is the first time in almost 2 weeks that the three of us have physically been in the studio together.
Feels real good.
Yeah.
Feels real good. A nice little menage a trois of pain in here this morning for the Ben and Woods program.
What did I miss? They were three games above 500 when I left.
Yeah. It's been super fun. Offense has gone very, very cold. We'll talk about that. Let's hold them accountable today, guys, because we don't do that enough. I hereby declaim they are accountable. They're accountable.
Done. It's over.
You guys?
Yeah, I'm in.
We need like a sounder, like a let's hold them accountable sounder. You know, you know what tomorrow is. It's time to hold these guys accountable.
What would that sound like?
I don't know.
Is that a cash register chinging? Is that accountable?
No, that doesn't
work. Accounts receivable. That's what
I'm thinking of. Accounts receivable. I need something that, like, you
know. Big bomba cloth. Big bomba dynamic.
Well, when they hear it, they go, oh, no, we're dead. We better get our ass in gear. A gavel sound. I mean, look, they
Law and Order little stinger.
Dun, 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 dun. It's terrible, man. Terrible. No, I had to, like, honestly, I went to the doctor yesterday. As you know, I had my yearly.
Oh, how did it go?
Are you alive? Physical. I mean, I'm here.
You good?
He said, you got some mileage left, which was a quote. And I said, well, that's a good quote. Now, it could be 3 miles. It could be 30 miles. I have no idea. Nobody really knows. I mean, you know, when the end is near. But I will tell you this, man. I got to the doctor's office and waited. And he walked out and he goes, ah. He just gave me the look like, come on back. And I'm like, oh, no. Like, what's going on? So I sat down and I started doing the preamble of, listen, here's what's been going on. I had a kidney stone early in the year. Mentally, I've been working hard on my mental game, blah, blah, blah. But the consistency of the diet and the exercise, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, just relax. You're fine. You're good. He goes, yeah, you got a couple numbers in there, a little bit higher. We're going to do this test on you, like a calcium test around my heart, just to make sure, that the calcified plaque. He's going to do like a little measurement, which, you know, listen, man, at 48 years old, you read these stories all the time of these guys just dropping dead, you know, at Little League, on vacation, all these horrible stories, and you don't want that to happen, right? You want to be around your family as long as you can. Most of us do. And I got to do one of those tests. But then, man, this is what domed me out. So kind of wrapping up, he goes, let me get your blood pressure real quick. So he puts the cuff on, and I sit there, and he takes my blood pressure, and he goes, oof, yeah, that's high. He goes, all right, let's do an EKG on you right now. So I was like, oh, okay. So the nurse comes in. She goes, I need you to take your shirt off. And I go, oh, lucky you. Took this sack of potatoes, this white, doughy, hairy mess. And I'm like, she's like, oh, don't worry. I've seen way worse. She goes, oh, nope, don't have to shave you. I said, no, please don't shave my chest. I don't know that I could. I don't know if I can get through the rest of the day. So she slaps all these things on me, hooks me up. do the EKG. And she's like, okay, yeah, you know, doctor's going to come in. And he's like, look, you got to manage your blood pressure a little bit better. I need you to send me over the next week or so some blood pressure numbers, random times of the day and blah, blah, blah. And so that freaks you out a little bit. And as the game is going on last night, you know, I had to really lay there, Ben, and watch and go, it's fine. Yeah, you got runners on here. Oh, you didn't get him in, didn't get him over, didn't get him in. Okay, all right, just stay zen. Uh-oh, Yuki Matsui's back in a 1-1 game. Oh, he can't find the zone. Just stay zen. Stay zen, stay relaxed. So that's what I was trying to do. So forgive me if I don't come in here this morning full of fire and brimstone, but I'm
managing your health. That's what we're doing here.
Bro, I feel it. I feel it in my gut, and I'm just trying to tamp it down or find a better way to get it out.
Is there anything I can do to lower your stress level? Do you need easier questions on Take on Woods?
No.
What can I do?
You don't stress me out at all. Neither does Paulie. You guys don't stress me out a bit. Not even a little bit.
Ah, some nice soothing sounds of running water. A babbling brook.
Boy, I kind of have to pee a little bit when I hear that. Glucoman says, go for a walk. I can't really go for a walk right now. I would if I could, but I can't.
Just call in. 833-288-0973. You can call us.
I'll call you guys
during the walk. Yeah.
And vent. No, so I just, you know, listen, man. It was just one of those things where I was like, I could feel myself getting a little worked up last night. And so my buddies were texting me, and they're like, hey, I said, I turned the game off. As soon as the game ended, you know, Mary Lou's is talking to Scan, and I turned it off. And I said, I'm not watching. And they go, you don't sit up and watch the Schilt presser? And I go, no. Why? And I go, because I don't want to get mad at 9:25 at night. I want to try to sleep and get a good night's rest. I don't want to get mad. I don't want to listen to that. I'll wait till the morning, listen to it with the homies. We can discuss it together. But the last thing I need is to be at 9:30 going, alibi? Of course you can't alibi this. No one cares about these series wins right now. Mike, you've just dropped three straight. And I don't want to get myself worked up. So I just turned the TV off. You know what I watched? Have you guys seen the new show that's on Netflix about Donald Sterling and the Clippers? Have you guys
Clips.
Watched? Yeah, Clipped. Have you watched it
FX is Clipped. I saw the trailers, but I haven't watched. I haven't watched any of the episodes. It's brand new.
So there's two episodes out. It's so bad that it's good. It's one of those where you're like, okay,
It looks like a bad dramatization of the real events.
So same channel that did the Pam and Tommy one, which was awesome. So bad, but kind of awesome, right? So I'm watching it, and
they did the OJ show with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Phenomenal.
No, that was just as bad. It's the same thing.
Phenomenal though. Phenomenal. Like, but I couldn't turn away.
I think I saw Lawrence Fishburne as Elgin Baylor. I think, or
he's
the GM. No, it's. I mean, I saw he's in the cast. That's. I thought maybe that's who he
played.
I thought
he was Doc Rivers.
Doc Rivers.
Oh, he's Doc Rivers.
He's Doc
Rivers.
Mm-hmm. And then Al Bundy. What's his name? Ed O'Neill. Plays Donald Sterling. So, I mean, it's a decent story. Obviously, you all know the story of Donald Sterling, and the audio that they have him, you know, saying is just horrific, horrific stuff. And to watch that, but they've got, you know, kind of the guys playing. They're talking about the guys that were on the Clippers at the time. And that's pretty decent. It's decent. So I watched some of that, Benny. And then I went to bed, man, because I just couldn't let myself get worked up again. Over this baseball team, because I don't want my heart to explode. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, everyone has some stresses. I try to keep mine to a minimum. I'm stressed right now. We are 2 weeks away from the Ben and Woods Open.
Are you stressed?
I just want the event to be successful. I did some work yesterday. I was trying to make sure the beer would be arranged from Bergen that we're getting for all the players, and because there's not a cold room at the GOAT, so trying to figure out whether I'm going to pick it up early that morning and just transport it to Goat Hill, or how it's going to work. I mean, there's all of the little tiny details that you don't necessarily realize that everything has to be there at the right time, at the right day.
Yeah,
we've been putting it all together, but we're getting close now. We're coming up on it, and I just want to make sure that it's a fun, exciting day for everybody who signs up and participates.
I have a really good feeling about it. There is a lot to do detail-wise, a ton. I mean, think about the prizes, right? Because we have some killer, killer prizes and baskets and raffle prizes. You need to punch up a description. That needs to be in some weird plastic thing that tapes to a table. Where do we get the table? Do they have the table? Do they have tape? I need tape there. We need a glory hole sign. I need all kinds of things right now. So I do get it. But I do feel that that venue, our listeners, are going to make it a great day. I mean, we don't have a ton of volunteers. I don't know that we need a ton of volunteers, but I saw people are continuing to buy twosomes and foursomes, and they're rolling in right now. So we're still open. I say we'd probably bang it after another week, though, right? Like, whatever we have, we have.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting close to full. There's definitely some spots left. I just retweeted it on my Twitter account, at BenHigginsSD, our Eventbrite sign-up link if you want to join us. But, yeah, this is kind of the last week, I would say, or so to sign up if you want to make sure you get a spot.
Yeah, for sure. So it's going to be fun, man. We'll make it work. And the Tier 1s, you know, one thing about our audience, they don't really complain a lot, at least about us. They complain, but they don't really complain about us. And if they come out to Goat Hill, I know they're going to have a good time. Look, you're going to be playing golf with your friends, drinking beer, taking tequila shots, having a good time. Please drink responsibly and all that. But so, yeah, it's I can see why you're stressed about it. I'm mildly stressed about that. I would rather our baseball team win and us have a bad tournament. I would rather our baseball team.
You'll trade a nice long winning streak
for people complaining about our golf tournament. 100% in a heartbeat. I mean, we're getting to the point right now. I'd trade my car for a nice long winning streak. Make Paulie pick me up every day. I mean, we need this. You know, we need it. We want it. We don't need it. We want it. And it's just a bummer to watch. And we'll talk about the game last night. And that's the thing is I tweeted this morning, like, let's rip the phones. If you guys want to get it off your chest, I'm here for you. We all are. 833-288-0973. Vent, let it rip. But also, like, what's the milk is all over the table. They've spilled it. The milk's over the table, sitting back at 500. Now you can get your paper towels. You can clean it up. What's the solution for moving forward? What do you do?
That's a tough question.
It's a little bit of a loaded question. You know what I mean? Because I tweeted last night, half kidding. Just grab two catchers, two starting pitchers, two to three bats that match left-handed pitching and like four bullpen arms, and we're back in business. And it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but not really. This team's got some holes in it right now, and they got some guys that are headed the wrong direction. And I don't know how to fix it. If I did, I wouldn't be here with you guys. I would be in the locker room there fixing it. But I do want you guys to call in, get it off your chest. Look, I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but the takes of we just got to stop pretending this team is anything other than a 500 team. That's not a prolific take. You're right. Their record is 500. That's what they are. They have played 64 games. That means they have 98 games left to prove who they are. Is that right? My math adding up? No. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. 98 games left to prove what kind of team they are. So you got less than 100 games left. They are a 500 baseball team.
But they
right
go 44-44 or whatever it is.
Which at this point might be good enough to make the playoffs.
It's exactly right.
With the way the National League is shaping up. You may not need to be much more than a 500 team this year to go to the postseason.
And luckily for us, the entire National League is garbage. They're garbage. There's four teams above 500 or something. I mean, it is bananas how bad the NL is right now. So
Padres are the fifth best team in the National League. After all of this.
It's bananas, right? Sitting at 500, they are the fifth best team. And so... Yeah, I get it, but
wow,
how?
That's shocking.
It's shocking,
actually, to see that.
It's shocking. Yep. That said,
I haven't looked at the whole league-wide standings.
Yep, fifth best team in the National League, right here in San Diego, everybody.
But it does not feel like it. Certainly, it does not feel like it. There were positives last night. We will talk about those. There's a lot of negatives with this team. We'll talk about those as well. Again, sound the accountability buzzer or button or whatever it is that we came up with, because these guys need to be held.
Oh, and by the way, they have a winning record against three of the four teams that are ahead of them.
I know.
In the National League standings as well.
I know. Beat up the Winklings, guys. Beat up the Winklings. Hey, congratulations, by the way, to the Los Angeles Angels for their first two-game winning streak at home all season long. They had not put two together in a row. There's my blood pressure. You see the veins coming out? Here it comes. I'm going to have to, like, monitor it at work, like Gordon Gekko. Like, sitting at my desk. Like, hang on, I got to monitor my blood pressure.
Strap you up to wires throughout the show.
Stupid.
All right. The vibes are not great this morning. My first day back in a couple days. Your blood pressure's through the roof.
Yeah.
Ben's stressed about the golf tournament.
Yeah.
Padres are losing. Would some gifts cheer you guys up?
You know we love gifts.
Oh, that would be nice.
No,
can we do that
gifts.
When we come back?
Yes, let's do gifts.
I know what I'm getting already, but that's fine. I'm excited about it.
I bet you are.
All right, we'll hear about Paulie's trip to Vegas. Pervert. We'll set the menu for the show coming up next. Good morning. It's Wednesday. Are our heads right? Probably not. On San Diego's number one sports station, Kelly with traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I like presents. Paulie brought us some presents from his trip to Vegas. How was your trip to Vegas?
Looked good. I saw some pictures. Looked like you guys had a good time.
I want to talk about that restaurant. Okay?
Best friend.
Best friend.
So my God.
So it looks like it's in like a strip mall. It looks like a 7-Eleven storefront or something. Is it? That's how it's meant to look?
Yeah. It's how it's meant to look.
And where is it?
It's in Park MGM.
Okay.
Right there on the casino floor. Roy Choi is the chef. He opened it up, and it's like Korean barbecue, street food style. It's family style. So we got a booth, and they just bring out food as it's ready. They don't do, you know, appetizer, main course, or anything like that. It's just as it's ready, food just comes flying out. It was unbelievable.
It looked incredible.
We had a veggie fried rice. We had Korean short rib barbecue street tacos.
Koji's, he's the inventor of the Koji burrito. It's the single best burrito I've ever had in my whole life.
Yep.
That was my Coachella burrito. Wouldn't eat for 3 days and eat two of those and call it a day.
We had marinated cucumbers, which were delicious, a little spicy.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we have? A garlic chicken.
Oh, man.
It was so good.
It looked, I saw one little picture and I was like, wiping the saliva from my chin. It looked incredible.
Yeah. Service was great.
So
the vibe, there was a DJ in there, like a live DJ, which is awesome.
No, you didn't go to any shows or anything?
No shows. A lot of like the residencies were off that weekend, or they did the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and then we got in Sunday afternoon. So we were just hanging. It was kind of a whirlwind of a trip. We were there for two nights.
Yep.
And it was hot, about 100. It was getting it was getting hotter. I think it's like 110 today.
Taint all sweaty and walking around.
Pool time? Any pool time?
We didn't do the pool this time.
No kidding. Too hot.
Yeah. It was like cloudy hot, too. It was like cloudy and 100 degrees and muggy. We're like, I don't want to go sit by the pool right now. No, I'm good.
So I saw you guys working the slots real good.
Oh, yeah.
I laughed at Paulie yesterday when I talked to him. I was like, how'd you do, you know, money-wise? He's like, maybe down a little bit, but you made enough to, like, buy stuff and buy dinners and stuff.
We went shopping. Like, we had a great time. Like, we brought fun money that you plan to lose.
Sure.
But it's more of how long will it last?
But these dudes...
Like, if you lose $100...
In 30 seconds?
In 30 seconds? That sucks.
The worst.
You sit
happens to me every time.
If you're playing games for 2.5 hours and you lose that $100.
Money well spent. So they're him and Megan. Megan took a picture of Paulie sitting at the slot machine. I go, when you guys are in your 60s, you're going to be out like at Barona every weekend. Just Paulie and Megan just playing slots, man.
Yeah, I never really got into the whole slot thing for a long time. And then Megan started getting into it. So I started playing along and started realizing, you know what? It's a little bit more fun than I thought.
Yeah.
When you bet a little bit more than, you know, a penny, and you can win a little bit more than a dollar, and then you're just playing for the bonuses, you're like, all right, it's pretty fun, dude.
Does anyone miss
Monday night? I couldn't miss.
Couldn't lose.
The old school when the
coins
would have to, you know, would pop out, and you'd have to you'd have a bucket and had to, you know, put in the coins, and then when you had a jackpot, it would be dropping out. And
I mean, that can't have been
very hygienic.
No.
With everybody touching all the coins all the time.
I mean, bro, at this point, nothing is really. You got people scratching their ass and going up and hitting the button all day, too. I mean, it's disgusting. Vegas is. Anywhere you go is disgusting right now, pretty much. It's just the way that it is.
Man, I will say, I'm always impressed with the Strip in Las Vegas for as many people as there are. Mobbing through there every single day, and it was packed this weekend. No trash on the ground.
That's great.
They do a really good job of cleaning it up. You never feel like unsafe.
No.
Like, you get occasionally, you'll see the one guy that cannot stand up on his own feet. Yeah. He's stumbling out of a casino or something. But for the most part, everyone's doing their thing.
Yeah.
Everyone's fine. I had no problems with that. Gifts. I had to go to a couple of different, they got the Walgreens, they got CVS's on the Strip.
Sure.
So we'd go there to get some waters and stuff, and I also noticed that they have these for Woodsy.
Oh, yes, I love these. Little citrus Zen that you cannot buy.
Congratulations.
Can't get those here.
Angel face. I love these. Thank you.
Oh,
whole new deck of trading cards.
Benny got some trading cards.
Yeah. I got Carrie with two I's at the end.
Carrie.
Jasmine and Bella. Oh, very nice.
Okay. That's a rookie card.
Ashley.
Yeah. Ashley.
Okay. It's two-sided. Amira and Megan.
Oh, thanks, Megan.
Here, let's see these.
Here you go.
Oh, all right. Which, I mean, you're 6 for 6 here, Paulie. Yeah. And, these are the...
Yeah, I don't know if you want to show them, do you?
Well, there's a little dot over the nipple, so you're fine.
That keeps it completely clean.
Yeah, so now you don't really know what you're looking at.
You have no idea.
Had there not been a dot there, that might be a naked woman.
Could be anything.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Your collection is really
starting to grow. Every time Paulie goes, he always brings me back some souvenirs.
Yeah.
Here's what we've got on the menu for the program today.
Thank you, Paulie.
We will talk about Adam Mazur's Major League debut last night. Unfortunately, came in a 4-2 loss to the Angels. Padres dropping their third straight. Our Padres wrap-up is coming up here at the bottom of the hour. We got an early Big League Wednesday visit from Adam Jones, who's going to check in. He's coming on at 7 o'clock because he is talking to, we believe, John Harbaugh on his podcast later this morning. So
busy morning.
He moved up a little bit early for us, and we will talk to Adam Jones at 7 o'clock. So we'll delay take on Woods until a little bit later in the show. We'll either do it late in the 7 o'clock hour or early in the 8 o'clock hour. Don't do this at 7:20, as always. Do want to get into the rumors that were flying yesterday. We talked a little bit about... on our show yesterday, who the Padres might want to be pursuing on the trade market if they need more pitching depth. And one name I brought up specifically was Garrett Crochet of the Chicago White Sox. And then it came out later in the day from Dennis Lynn and Ken Rosenthal in The Athletic that the Padres indeed have been actively pursuing Garrett Crochet, the left-hander converted reliever for the Chicago White Sox, who's leading the American League in strikeouts, has been on fire of late. His last five starts, I think he's given up a total of 3 runs. But, of course, the White Sox are going to want a pretty penny for Garrett Crochet. He's got 2+ years left of team control remaining, which is a very valuable commodity. And are the Padres willing to sacrifice some of their top prospects, whether it be, you know, a Dylan Lesko, Robbie Snelling, or even talk about Leodalis DeVries, or even Ethan Salas.
Or Leonardo DiCaprio.
Who was in town. We talked about him yesterday.
Yes, yes.
So we'll talk about that. We have Paul back, so we get a real Rindle report after a Klug report and an Italian Paul report the last 2 days in our 9 o'clock hour.
And a bald Rindle report.
Can I just say that might have been the funniest thing I've ever heard?
Rindle?
Bald Rindle.
Yeah, bald Rindle. That made me laugh really hard.
He hates me so much. It's all right.
He texted me that was Monday?
Yeah, Monday.
He texted me, we changed Adam's name to Bald Rindle. I thought,
yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, that's what he's forever. If he fills in for you, he's Bald Rindle. Yeah.
Sits a little bit lower. All you can
I couldn't
see, is
see
the
him.
Did you see the top of the head over
it.
My computer screen?
I'm like, can you sit on a phone book or something? I'm looking over at him, and he's, I'm not joking. Go look at the video feed. He had his hoodie on at one point, and he was leaned back in his chair texting. I almost came out of my skin. I'm like, you're the brand man. Lock in. Let's go,
now,
dude.
If you
did that, Paulie, I'd be like, bro, we gotta find another producer.
He had to do 8 straight hours on the board on Monday.
It's not my problem.
Yeah.
Not my problem. Not my problem. He's in a hoodie with the hoodie over his head, lean back texting. It's unacceptable. I'm holding him accountable.
Paulie, do we have the sounder for holding Bald Rindle accountable?
Freaking bald, man. Guy got me again. Got me again. I love you, Adam.
All right, we'll come back with our Padres wrap-up with Ben and Woods. Don't go anywhere. It's San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. If it makes you feel any better, I don't know that it will, but Padres aren't the only team in the torture chamber at the moment.
It doesn't.
You know, the Dodgers.
Yeah, dude.
In their last, since May 10th, I looked this up. Since May 10th, they have been shut out or held to 1 run 8 times.
That is staggering.
Including yesterday when 4 Pittsburgh Pirates pitchers combined on a 1-0 shutout win over the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You know what? I just lied to you.
That does make you feel a little bit better.
That does make me feel a little bit better. Tell me again. I want to hear it again. Say it again.
Since May 10th, the LA Dodgers have either been shut out or held to 1 run 8 times. 0-8 in those games.
Yeah. That just hit like a nice ice cold old fashioned. That made me feel. I could feel my body tingling a little bit.
Yeah, and there's consternation in Los Angeles with everything that they've spent on that team and realizing that they are at least the kind of team that they expected or want to be, and will probably be very active around the trade deadline, looking to add offense and depth.
Junior just ruined it for me in the chat. So now you're saying we missed opportunities to gain on LA. Now I'm even more upset. Yeah, great, good job. You just made me. It's like a speedball. That was terrible.
Or you could say that every other team has missed opportunities to gain on the Padres. Padres are 5-5 in their last 10 games now after the 3 straight losses. In the top 7 in the wild card standings, no one is better than 5-5. Not a single team has gained a game on the San Diego Padres over those last 10. Not a single team in the top 7 in the wild card standings is better than 5-5. A few of them are worse, quite a bit worse than 5-5.
This is going to be one of those years where it's like, does anybody want this at all? Anybody at all want this? And you see that every couple of years.
We got playoff spots.
Anybody?
Here. Playoff
anybody.
Spots. Anybody?
Anybody want to surge ahead? No. Everyone just want to keep treading water and all that. But holy cow, man. Holy cow. That's interesting.
Keeping everybody in it.
Yeah.
That's happening right now.
It is the lone bright side of all of this, Benny, is that, you know, when others are faltering as well, the timing of it. Yeah, the opportunity cost of not making up and gaining ground.
It would be so great to have just a little bit of wiggle room and feel a little bit more comfortable if you had taken care of business in some of these games, not sweeping the Marlins, not sweeping the Royals when you had a chance, and now two games against the Angels that you felt like, man, those were four very winnable games that you didn't win, and you could have a nice, comfortable, like right there with the Braves at the top of the wild card standings, a good four or five games clear of everybody else. And no, you're just a game. You're in the second wild card spot. You're a game and a half up on the non wild card teams. We'll talk about last night's game in our Padres wrap up. We'll get to that right after check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
1-2 pitch hit hard into left field, base hit, Arise going to be waved. Ward comes up throwing. Here's the throw to the plate, no chance. Arise slides in feet first, an RBI single for Machado, a two-out rally, and a 1-0 Padre lead. Nothing in 2 to Renjifo. The pitch from Major is lined up the middle and into center, base hit. Yorme rounding third on his way. He's going to come in to score. An RBI single for Renjifo. The Angels cash in this walk. And a 1-1 game in the bottom of the third. 1-2 to Neto. De Los Santos delivers in a line drive to left field over Profar's head. That's going to be big trouble. Bounces up against the wall. Ohapi and Adele have scored. Moniak will be held at third. A two-run double for Zach Neto. And the Angels lead for the first time tonight. It's 3-1. 3-1 pitch hit hard and over the head of Renjifo into left field, base hit. Tatis has scored. Manny be held at third. An RBI single for Cronenworth. And now a 4-2 game here in the eighth. Career against Estevez. Hard hit grounder to short. Backhanded by Neto. He's got it. Throw to first is in time. A 1-2-3 ninth for Estevez. His second save in as many nights. And for the first time in 2024, the Angels have won back-to-back home games. Final score here tonight. The Angels 4 and the Padres 2.
Super frustrating. I mean, King goes back to the last game in Kansas City and gets into the 7th. And we had Waldy get into the 7th last night. And Mazur gives us 6 solid tonight, all, one runs. That's what the name of the game is, sorting pitching and eating up innings. And those guys have done more of their part to give us a chance.
Embarrassing. Do you want to start with the positive or the negative?
Start with the positive in Adam Mazur.
All right. Adam Mazur, pressed into his major league debut with the injuries to the pitching staff, acquitted himself really nicely.
He did.
He had a couple of walks, but definitely got himself out of those by inducing double play grounders.
What a strategy.
Gave up just 2 hits in his 6 innings of work. As Mike Schilt said, you couldn't have really asked for anything more.
Nope.
You can't have asked for anything more in the last 3 games from the starting pitching. 3 losses, 7 innings, 1 run from Michael King, 6 innings, 6 and a third, 1 run, 2 hits from Matt Waldron, and then 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 run from Adam Mazur. Those are 3 outstanding starts. You expect to go 3-0. When you get that kind of starting pitching, not 0-3, Mazur was good. He's not overpowering.
Nope,
certainly. And you wonder, against a lineup better than the Angels, whether he'll be able to have as much success. He certainly needs to stay in the zone. The 4 walks could be troublesome, in the future if that continues. But there were obviously some nerves there, and I thought the moment, obviously the double play to end the first inning was a big confidence boost, but he comes out in the second inning, walks the first guy on 4 pitches, then throws a 5th straight ball, and Manny Machado walks over from third base, calls timeout, and just, I don't know what he said exactly, but he had that very, I'm very calm, Manny Machado look to him. Luis Camposano came out as well, and whatever he said seemed to work and settle young Mr. Major down a little bit, and it was a nice moment of leadership from a veteran third baseman, and I did enjoy seeing that.
I did too, and you know, again, not being able to scratch out a couple runs, pick this kid up a victory, make that story that you just told even more meaningful. You know, the lack of offense last night again against a guy with a 5+ ERA. I know, I was texting with some buddies last night. I was looking at his numbers. He threw pretty well against the Yankees. You never know with these guys. I mean, they're big leaguers for a reason. They figure something out. And like, oh, okay, now I know what I was doing wrong with my changeup. I watched.
He has had a couple of really bad outings
really
that have inflated
stinky.
The ERA, but he's also had a number of good starts. And I think the big thing is he's left-handed.
The left-handed thing.
I was trying to, what's real and what's not real about the San Diego Padres?
Yeah, that is real.
You can't just say, well, the Padres are a bad offensive team. That's not true. They're ninth in runs scored.
They can't hit left-handed pitching.
But what is real.
They struggle to.
They have struggled badly against left-handed pitchers. Chris Ello put the numbers together yesterday, and I think Sammy gave us an update on the post-game show last night. In the last 16 games against left-handed starters, the lefties have a 1.38 ERA and have held the Padres to zero or one run, I think, 11 times, and two or three maximum in all of them. And the Padres are now 4-12 in those games. The left-handed thing, the starters, that is a real struggle for the San Diego Padres. Everything else, it might just be a little bit of noise. The normal ups and downs of a baseball season. Guys get hot, guys get cold. The overall numbers offensively, starting pitching, bullpen, are pretty decent for the Padres. But their numbers against left-handed starting pitching are abysmal and are taking what should be a team that's a few games above 500 and has pushed them down to a 500 team.
I mean, you saw Ron Washington's strategy last night. It was just like, until we score some more runs, Sandoval's done. I'm going right back with the left-hander and Matt Moore. No quarter. I'm not giving you any quarter. Now, again, when they brought Luis Garcia in, we've seen enough Luis Garcia to know, all right, we're back in it. And we were. We had a chance. And, you know, they attempted to make a comeback. Manny was on third. Who got the last out that inning? Solano, yeah. So just another tough one, man. Another tough one in Anaheim that stunk. And again, plenty of opportunities. Sandoval was good, but holy cow, man. I mean, how many lefties are you going to let just eat your lunch for you every single time you go out? I mean, that can't happen.
Obviously, it's been a very rough last two outings for Yuki Matsui. After giving up the game in the ninth inning in Kansas City
I did not understand that.
He came in a 1-1 game, and to be fair, the first batter he faced, he got squeezed twice.
Yep.
On pitches that were in the zone and were called balls, and he walked the leadoff batter. You still can't walk the leadoff batter, and that is on him. Pitch, it wasn't that close, but there were two other pitches in that at-bat that lit up the zone, and he did not get the call behind home plate. So how do you respond? Well, second batter, he did fine. He induced a weak grounder chopper up the middle. You know, in certain circumstances, it could be a double play. Instead, Ha-Sung Kim's throw brings Donovan Solano off the bag at first. So now it's first and second, nobody out. And then he kind of falls apart, and he can't hit the zone on the third batter. And now the bases are loaded. There's nobody out. He's out of the game. And at that point, you pretty much saw the writing on the wall. Eniel De Los Santos did get the first out with the force at home, but gave up the two-run double to Zach Neto that got over Jurickson's head. And he took a step in. I don't know that he's catching that either way, even if he has a perfect jump backwards on that. Even if he does, it's a sacrifice fly, and they're taking the lead there. Keeps the Padres in the game. I'm not blaming Jurickson for this loss. It was a tough outing, and Yuki Matsui, if you're going to put him in a close game again, got to be able to throw strikes. He's got to be able to throw strikes.
The pitch that was hit over Jurickson's head was such a cookie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such a cookie. It was laid in there, just hanging slider,
yeah.
I think.
I mean, De Los Santos, that first at-bat battle.
I was like, here we go.
Got the grounder, looked good, got some swing and miss. I'm going, maybe he can get out of this jam.
Let's take their soul right here.
Threw a really bad pitch there.
I mean, it was as center cut BP as you can get, and the guy put a great swing on it. And Jurickson, again, even if his first step is back, I don't know that he gets that ball. It was a seed. I don't know how hard he hit it. I should probably look that up. But that ball was smoked off the bat. And yeah, there you go. That's the difference in the game. But the getting Matsui back on the horse in that spot, I just did not like it. He just was not. He was not competitive in his last AB or in his last outing, and he wasn't competitive last night. And I don't know what you do with him. But once you start looking at a bullpen, if you're the manager, you're the general manager, if you're a fan, you go, all right, well, I can't go to Kolek, okay, unless it's mop up, and even that didn't work. I can't go to Yuki unless it's a perfect situation. So now I'm subtracting two guys out of my bullpen that I can only use in very specific situations. That is not the recipe for success. I don't know the answer. I know that Ruben works really hard with those guys, and I know these guys are hard workers. Is it mental? You know, is it mental for those guys? That's got to mess with you. If you're Steven Kolek and you blow a mop-up role like that and have to use your closer and ends up costing you another game, that sucks. And Yuki, being uncompetitive the other night, they tried to get him back on the horse last night. It was a terrible, terrible decision because of the outcome. So I don't know what you do, but when you're looking at your bullpen before a game and you go, can't use him. Probably not going to use him either.
Well, you know,
your options are very limited.
You know, he's the left-handed option, and I assume Adrian Morihone's going to get more of those. But he had pitched the day before.
Yeah, they don't do him back-to-back.
He
days.
Was on because he multiple innings. He was yep. unavailable. So if you wanted to go to a left, you could have gone to Peralta in the seventh inning, Wandy, instead of Yuki. But usually, you know, they save Peralta more for the eighth, you know, and later in the games. But I would imagine that you're going to have to be a little more cautious about using Yuki Matsui going forward as well after two rough starts where it looked like his confidence was shaking a little bit, probably from Sunday's, you know, blowing a game. First time in the big leagues where you have really let your team down like that completely. You had the lead. You were asked to close a game out for the first time. It's a confidence shaker, no doubt about it. And then the way they had innings started couldn't have gone any worse.
No.
You know, you get squeezed. Now you got a runner on. You get a ground ball. You're thinking, oh, double play. I'm out. Instead, nope, first and second, nobody out. And then it looked like his confidence was really rattled on that third batter.
Yeah.
Didn't give up any hard contact or anything. Just was not making his pitches there.
When you're, I was texting with some buddies about Yuki last night. I mean, when you go up to the plate against him, you can just be patient. You do not have to go up there and hack at all because he doesn't pound the zone.
If it makes you feel any better, I don't know that it will, but Padres aren't the only team in the torture chamber at the moment.
It doesn't.
You know, the Dodgers.
Yeah, dude.
In their last, since May 10th, I looked this up. Since May 10th, they have been shut out or held to one run 8 times.
That is staggering.
Including yesterday when 4 Pittsburgh Pirates pitchers combined on a 1-0 shutout win over the Los Angeles Dodgers.
You know what? I just lied to you.
That does make you feel a little bit better.
That does make me feel a little bit better. Tell me again. I want to hear it again. Say it again.
Since May 10th, the L.A. Dodgers have either been shut out or held to one run 8 times, 0-8 in those games.
Yeah, that just hit like a nice, ice-cold, old-fashioned. That made me feel. I could feel my body tingling a little bit.
Yeah, and there's consternation in Los Angeles with everything that they've spent on that team and realizing that they are at least the kind of team that they expected or want to be. And we'll probably be very active around the trade deadline, looking to add offense and depth.
Junior just ruined it for me in the chat. So now you're saying we missed opportunities to gain on L.A. Now I'm even more upset. Yeah, great. Good job. You just made me like a speedball. That was terrible.
Or you could say that every other team has missed opportunities to gain on the Padres. Padres are 5-5 in their last 10 games now after the 3 straight losses. In the top 7 in the wild card standings, no one is better than 5-5. Not a single team has gained a game on the San Diego Padres over those last 10. Not a single team in the top 7 in the wild card standings is better than 5-5. A few of them are worse, quite a bit worse than 5-5.
This is going to be one of those years where it's like, does anybody want this at all? Anybody at all want this? And you see that every couple of years.
We got playoff spots.
Anybody?
Here. Playoff spots. Anybody?
Anybody want to surge ahead? No? Everyone just want to keep treading water and all that. But holy cow, man. Holy cow. That's interesting.
Keeping everybody in it.
Yeah.
That's happening right now.
It is the lone bright side of all of this, Benny, is that, you know, when others are faltering as well. The timing of it. Yeah, it the opportunity cost of not making up and gaining ground.
It would be so great to have just a little bit of wiggle room and feel a little bit more comfortable if you had taken care of business in some of these games, not sweeping the Marlins, not sweeping the Royals when you had a chance, and now two games against the Angels that you felt like, man, those were four very winnable games that you didn't win, and you could have a nice, comfortable, like, right there with the Braves at the top of the wild card standings, a good four or five games clear of everybody else, and no, you're just a game, you're in the second wild card spot, you're a game and a half up on the you know, the non-wild card teams. We'll talk about last night's game in our Padres wrap-up. We'll get to that right after check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
1-2 pitch hit hard into left field, base hit. Arise going to be waved. Ward comes up throwing. Here's the throw to the plate. No chance. Arise slides in feet first. An RBI single for Machado. A two-out rally and a 1-0 Padre lead. Nothing in 2 to Renjifo. The pitch from Major is lined up the middle and into center, base hit. Yorme rounding third on his way. He's going to come in to score. An RBI single for Renjifo. The Angels cash in this walk. And a 1-1 game in the bottom of the third. 1-2 to Neto. De Los Santos delivers in a line drive to left field over Profar's head. That's going to be big trouble. Bounces up against the wall. Ohapi and Adele have scored. Moniak will be held at third. A two-run double for Zach Neto. And the Angels lead for the first time tonight. It's 3-1. 3-1 pitch hit hard and over the head of Renjifo into left field, base hit. Tatis has scored. Manny will be held at third. An RBI single for Cronenworth. And now a 4-2 game here in the eighth. Career against Estevez. Hard hit grounder to short. Backhanded by Neto. He's got it. Throw to first is in time. A 1-2-3 ninth for Estevez. His second save in as many nights. And for the first time in 2024, the Angels have won back-to-back home games. Final score here tonight. The Angels 4 and the Padres 2.
Super frustrating. I mean, you know, King goes back to the last game in Kansas City and gets into the 7th. And we had Waldy get into the 7th last night. And Mazur gives us 6 solid tonight, all, you know, 1 runs. So, you know, that's what the name of the game is, sorting pitching and eating up innings. And those guys have done more of their part to give us a chance.
Embarrassing. Do you want to start with the positive or the negative?
Start with the positive in Adam Mazur.
All right. Adam Mazur, you know, pressed into his major league debut with the injuries to the pitching staff, acquitted himself really nicely.
He did.
He had a couple of walks, but definitely got himself out of those by inducing double play grounders.
What a strategy.
Gave up just 2 hits in his 6 innings of work. As Mike Schilt said, you couldn't have really asked for anything more.
Nope.
You can't have asked for anything more in the last 3 games from the starting pitching. 3 losses, 7 innings, 1 run from Michael King, 6 innings, 6 and a third, 1 run, 2 hits from Matt Waldron, and then 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 run from Adam Mazur. Those are 3 outstanding starts. You expect to go 3-0. When you get that kind of starting pitching, not 0-3, but yeah, Mazur was good. He's not overpowering.
Nope,
certainly. And you wonder, you know, against a lineup better than the Angels, whether he'll be able to have as much success. He certainly needs to stay in the zone. The 4 walks could be troublesome, you know, in the future if that continues. But you know, there were obviously some nerves there. And I thought the moment, obviously the double play to end the first inning was a big confidence boost, but he comes out in the second inning, walks the first guy in 4 pitches, then throws a 5th straight ball, and Manny Machado walks over from third base, calls timeout, and just, I don't know what he said exactly, but he had that very, I'm very calm, Manny Machado look to him. Luis Camposano came out as well, and whatever he said seemed to work and settle young Mr. Mazur down a little bit, and it was a nice moment of leadership from a veteran third baseman, and I did enjoy seeing that.
I did too, and you know, again, not being able to scratch out a couple runs, pick this kid up a victory, make that story that you just told even more meaningful. You know, the lack of offense last night again against a guy with a 5+ ERA. I know, you know, I was texting with some buddies last night. I was looking at his numbers. I, yeah, he actually. He threw pretty well against the Yankees. You never know with these guys. I mean, they're big leaguers for a reason. They figure something out. And like, oh, okay, now I know what I was doing wrong with my changeup. I
watched. He has had a couple of really bad outings
really
that have inflated
stinky.
The ERA, but he's also had a number of good starts. And I think the big thing is he's left-handed.
The left-handed thing.
And I was trying to, what's real and what's not real about the San Diego Padres?
That is real.
You can't just say, well, the Padres are a bad offensive team. That's not true. They're ninth in runs scored.
They can't hit left-handed pitching.
But what is real.
They struggle to.
They have struggled badly against left-handed pitchers. Chris Ello put the numbers together yesterday, and I think Sammy gave us an update on the post-game show last night. In the last 16 games against left-handed starters, the lefties have a 1.38 ERA and have held the Padres to zero or one run, I think, 11 times, and two or three maximum in all of them. And the Padres are now 4-12 in those games. The left-handed thing, the starters, that is a real struggle for the San Diego Padres. Everything else, it might just be a little bit of noise. The normal ups and downs of a baseball season. Guys get hot, guys get cold. The overall numbers offensively, starting pitching, bullpen, are pretty decent for the Padres. But their numbers against left-handed starting pitching are abysmal and are taking what should be a team that's a few games above 500 and has pushed them down to a 500 team.
I mean, you saw Ron Washington's strategy last night. It was just like, until we score some more runs, Sandoval's done. I'm going right back with the left-hander and Matt Moore. No quarter. I'm not giving you any quarter. Now, again, when they brought Luis Garcia in, we've seen enough Luis Garcia to know, all right, we're back in it. And we were. We had a chance. And, you know, they attempted to make a comeback. Manny was on third. Who got the last out that inning? Solano, yeah. So just another tough one, man. Another tough one in Anaheim that stunk. And again, plenty of opportunities. Sandoval was good, but holy cow, man. I mean, how many lefties are you going to let just eat your lunch for you every single time you go out? I mean, that can't happen.
Obviously, it's been a very rough last two outings for Yuki Matsui. After giving up the game in the ninth inning in Kansas City on Sunday.
I did not understand that.
He came in a 1-1 game. And, to be fair, the first batter he faced, he got squeezed twice.
Yep.
On pitches that were in the zone and were called balls. And he walked the leadoff batter. You still can't walk the leadoff batter, and that is on him. Pitch. It wasn't that close, but there were two other pitches in that at-bat that lit up the zone, and he did not get the call behind home plate. So how do you respond? Well, second batter, he did fine. He induced a weak grounder chopper up the middle. You know, in certain circumstances, it could be a double play. Instead, Ha-Sung Kim's throw brings Donovan Solano off the bag at first. So now it's first and second, nobody out. And then he kind of falls apart, and he can't hit the zone on the third batter. And now the bases are loaded. There's nobody out. He's out of the game. And at that point, you pretty much saw the writing on the wall. Eniel De Los Santos did get the first out with the force at home, but gave up the two-run double to Zach Neto that got over Jurickson's head. And while he took a step in, I don't know that he's catching that either way. Even if he has a perfect jump backwards on that, even if he does, it's a sacrifice fly, and they're taking the lead there. Keeps the Padres in the game. I'm not blaming Jurickson for this loss. It was a tough outing, and Yuki Matsui, if you're going to put him in a close game again, got to be able to throw strikes. He's got to be able to throw strikes.
The pitch that was hit over Jurickson's head, it was such a cookie.
Yeah.
I mean, it was such a cookie. It was laid in there, just hanging slider,
yeah.
I think.
I mean, De Los Santos, that first at-bat battle.
I was like, here we go.
Got the grounder, looked good, got some swing and miss. I'm going, oh, maybe he can get out of this jam.
Let's take their soul right here.
Threw a really bad pitch there.
I mean, it was as center cut BP as you can get, and the guy put a great swing on it. And Jurickson, again, even if his first step is back, I don't know that he gets that ball. It was a seed. I don't know how hard he hit it. I should probably look that up. But that ball was smoked off the bat. And yeah, there you go. That's the difference in the game. But the getting Matsui back on the horse in that spot, I just did not like it. He just was not competitive in his last AB or in his last outing, and he wasn't competitive last night. And I don't know what you do with him. But once you start looking at a bullpen, if you're the manager, you're the general manager, if you're a fan, you go, all right, well, I can't go to Colek. okay, unless it's mop up, and even that didn't work. I can't go to Yuki unless it's a perfect situation. So now I'm subtracting two guys out of my bullpen that I can only use in very specific situations. That is not the recipe for success. I don't know the answer. I know that Ruben works really hard with those guys, and I know these guys are hard workers. Is it mental? You know, is it mental for those guys? That's got to mess with you. If you're Steven Kolek and you blow a mop-up role like that and have to use your closer and ends up costing you another game, that sucks. And Yuki, being uncompetitive the other night, they tried to get him back on the horse last night. It was a terrible, terrible decision because of the outcome. So I don't know what you do, but when you're looking at your bullpen before a game and you go, can't use him, probably not going to use him either.
Well, you know,
your options are very limited.
You know, he's the left-handed option, and I assume Adrian Morihone's going to get more of those, but he had pitched the day before.
Yeah, they don't do him back-to-back
he
days.
Multiple innings, he was unavailable. So if you wanted to go to a lefty, you could have gone to Peralta in the seventh inning, Wandy, instead of Yuki. But usually, you know, they save Peralta more for the eighth, you know, and later in the games. But I would imagine that you're going to have to be a little more cautious about using Yuki Matsui going forward as well after two rough starts where it looked like his confidence was shaking a little bit, probably from Sunday's, you know, blowing a game. First time in the big leagues where you have really let your team down like that completely. You had the lead. You were asked to close a game out for the first time. It's a confidence shaker, no doubt about it. And then the way they had innings started couldn't have gone any worse.
No.
You know, you get squeezed. Now you got a runner on. You get a ground ball. You're thinking, oh, double play. I'm out. Instead, nope, first and second, nobody out. And then it looked like his confidence was really rattled on that third batter.
Yeah.
Didn't give up any hard contact or anything. Just was not making his pitches there.
When you're, I was texting with some buddies about Yuki last night. I mean, when you go up to the plate against him, you can just be patient. You do not have to go up there and hack at all because he doesn't pound the zone at all. So you can be really, really selective, and he just doesn't attack the zone. He's in, he's out, he's up, he's down. Just not a lot of confidence from him right now. So look, he's making it for his ability level. We've got that guy, Ben, for like another 5 years, and his salary goes up every single year. It behooves them to get it figured out with Yuki Matsui.
I mean, we've seen some good swing and miss
early.
Yeah, I mean, he had seven and a third straight inning shutout innings before his last outing.
But I don't know how much swing and miss he's gotten really since early in the season. But you know, you keep the ball down, generally good things happen. But you got to be in the zone. You have to be in the zone, giving guys free passes. Even a team like the Angels, they've been terrible. They will beat you at that level.
So that sets up a really important game tonight, I would say. And we'll talk about it later. But we talked about how you don't want your next streak to be a losing streak. You don't have to go on a winning streak, but you don't want the long losing streak. They're now three.
Three.
So kind of red alert tonight for the Padres. We'll talk to Adam Jones to kick off our 7 o'clock hour next year on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.